In our Psalm series, Desire, as we look at worship in the Psalms, as we're doing that for a few weeks here. And today we look at this well-known Psalm we read, Psalm 46. It's a great Psalm that reminds us of a lot of things in the Christian life, about God as our refuge and strength, and we know the verses about being still and knowing that God is the Lord, and but it also about the importance of coming together as God's people in worship, as His church. We learn some key truths about how God equips us through worship and builds us up as we worship Him, as we come together as His people, so that we're strengthened for what He has for us to do in the world as we go back out. So the first key I want to look at there in the opening part of the psalm is in verse 1, and that's the principle of God strengthening us and the strength He gives us. And the application is that we ask God for His help in whatever we're going through. And as, of course, we come to worship, that we know we can come to God with our struggles and seek His help in prayer and find His strength. I like the story of the little boy that I probably have used before, playing in the sandbox with his toys, and he discovers this big rock in the sandbox, and he's trying to figure out a way to move the rock. He gets it as far as he can to get it out of the sandbox, but he can't. He's pushing with everything that he has to get it out, you know, and he's almost, you know, can't get it over the hump. And he's struggling and with tears, and all in what's going on, his father is watching this. And from the living room window, he's watching this drama unfold. And his dad then finally comes up and puts his hand on him and says, "Son, are you using all the strength that you've got?" And he says, "Well, Dad, you know I'm using all the strength I've got." He said, "No, son, you're not, because you haven't asked me. You haven't asked me to help." And then, of course, the father moves the rock. But, you know, we sometimes forget the God that we serve. But when we come into worship, we ought to be reminded of that. And that's where this psalm begins, that He's our refuge. He's our retreat, our strength. And what people tend to do, even Christians, we can struggle in our fears and try to figure out ways to solve our issues on our own. And we can come into worship with that mindset even. When we're to come into worship, especially corporate worship, to focus on the Lord and to know we find our strength in Him. We can try to build our own fortresses sometimes, can't we? And no doubt in our busyness, in the lives we live in today, that can pull us away from taking refuge in God alone. And people get more and more worried and more depressed and in despair like this. And people come in with that mindset, even Christians sometimes, into the house of the Lord to worship. Instead of retreating to the Lord, like the psalm says, in the moment, as you're coming, we become more self-reliant. We try to figure out ways to fix the problems in our lives instead of coming and knowing that God is our refuge and strength and our ever-present help in time of trouble. And we can kind of begin to focus on this in life, can't we? To sort of deal with our problems our own way rather than going to God. What we do in worship a lot of times ends up being carried out in the way we live. Our mindset in corporate worship affects our daily lives. Of course, the other can be true as well. But the result is that people are this way. But when we come together in worship, what we're saying, first of all, as we come in corporate worship, is that our life and salvation, of course, and our strength, it doesn't come from ourselves. It comes, of course, from outside of ourselves. We come from this world where there's so many distractions and troubles, and we'll talk about that more in another point. But we come together as God's people, and we put our focus on God, and we know our salvation comes from Him. He's our strength. We put in worship, as we come together, we're putting our trust in Him once again together as a community of faith, as believers. And we come together in corporate worship, we're saying we don't control what happens, God does. And whatever we're facing, whatever the circumstances and problems are, God is our strength. We're going to trust in Him. He's where our hope alone comes from and our power to go forward. And as we come in our own prayer times, but as we come especially talking here about corporate worship to God, we're saying there's nothing more satisfying in our relationship than our relationship with Him and seeing what He will do to help us with the difficulties. We're saying it's not the other things that people depend on that are going to help us. It's our rock. It's God. as we turn to Him and we find our strength in Him and we hide in Him as our refuge, we know that as we leave and go back into the battles of life, He's with us. Worship prepares us for that. Worship equips us for the battle. We're coming together in the midst of the problems and things that are going on in our own lives and what we see in the world and saying, we trust in Jesus Christ and we rest in Him as our inner strength, as our outer protection. He's our refuge. He's that outer protection or inner protection. He's our fortress. He's that inner, ever-present help in our times of trouble. I always like the story of this little boy where this guy calls up the house for some reason, and the boy answers, and he says, well, can I talk to your mom? Well, she's busy. And he says, well, can I talk to your dad? Well, he's busy too. And he just goes on and on. Who's there? Well, the police are there, he said. Well, can I talk to them? Well, no, they're busy too. The firemen are there. You know, they're busy too. And finally, he says, what are they all doing? He says to the little boy. And he says, they're all looking for me. He was hiding. He was hiding there. Warren Wiersbe said, God is our refuge and He hides us. God is our strength and He helps us. This is what God does. These go together. At times in our lives, we need a refuge, don't we, in the storms, from the storms. That's what worship does. The battle's raging, but we come to God together in Christ in worship and we find our strength in Him. We hide in Him in a sense. We go to Him and we're built up and equipped for the battles that we go back into. And we don't try to hide away from the world, no, but we don't stay hidden, but He hides us, as Wiersbe says, to help us, to equip us for what we go to do out in the battle of life. We're rejuvenated by worship. Now, worship is about God. It's to focus on Him. But in the process, as we do that as Christians, He's our refuge and strength. He's with us. He goes with us out into the battles. Refuge in the Lord isn't escape from life. No. It involves the Lord giving us the power and His presence and protection to go out into the realities of life. And that's what true worship does. Preparing us, equipping us. You know, in biblical times, refuges were these places of protection that the people would be in when there was a battle going on, in wartime, an attack. By definition, a refuge is a place of security where you can feel a sense of fear or a freedom from fear. It was a defensive place of protection in battle, dealing with symbolically the external issues of life where you can run to, where we find safety. And that's what we see in this psalm, that God is for us. He is our refuge. He is with us, the psalmist says over and over. And the psalmist is saying he felt that confidence in God as he came to the Lord, as he retreated to Him and found his strength in Him. He knew he was safe. He knew he was good. He knew he could trust Him. And he learned that over time and experience, coming and asking God for help. We do that as we come to worship the Lord. We turn to Him and we seek Him and find strength in Him. I always love the story of the guy who was out kayaking, true story, years ago. And he was out in treacherous waters and he capsized, but he had his mobile with him. And somehow this guy, Aston Smith, was about 30 or so, and he called his dad. But his dad, he had some special mobile phone, I guess, but his dad was thousands of miles away training British troops. But his dad answered, somehow got the call, and without delay, the father relayed this message to the Coast Guard, and they went and saved his son. Now, if that happens with a human being, how much more true is it with God Almighty? He's our ever-present help in our times of trouble. We find when we come together as His people, He's there with us. His presence is with us. He's there to help us. The focus is to be upon Him. But another part of worship is the fact that we find this great strength in Him as we turn to Him. We find in worship, as our focus is on Christ, He's meeting here with us. He's an ever-present help. He goes out with us as we leave worship. He empowers and equips us. And we experience His presence more, we should, in true worship. We find Him to be that ever-present help in the time of needs. Hebrews says that we have a high priest who can understand us, right? He sympathizes, Jesus. And then it says, let us go to the throne of grace where we find our help and confidence, and we find mercy in our times of need. So we come and we retreat to God. We turn to Him as His people. We find the strength we need right then in the moment. We call out to Him. We find help in our time of need. And that's what we're called to do as Christians in worship, asking for His grace, asking for His strength in the moment we're in, turning to Him as His people, and He feeds us and prepares us and nourishes us and strengthens us for the battles of life. In Hebrew, the word ever-present actually means a help that can be found when you need it. And that's a great way, I think, of saying it. Whatever you're facing, temptation and trials, God is there. He'll give us a way out. If we're weary, He'll give us strength. If we need decision to make, we have confusion, He'll give us wisdom. He'll be there with us. But we have to learn to trust Him. That's what it means to turn to Him as a refuge. Turn to Him in that moment. That's the key. I always like 1 Peter 3:15. It says, we're to set Christ apart in our hearts as Lord. Sanctify Him as Lord. And then we'll know that He's with us in that moment. See, corporate worship, as we learn to trust in Him and set Him apart and focus on Him, it equips us and prepares us to worship Him in all areas of life. We worship Him here, and that equips us to learn to set Him apart in whatever we're dealing with, to know that He's with us right in that moment. He'll give us grace and strength for the moment we're in, direction for whatever we're trying to deal with, the right words to say. He's that awesome refuge. So number one thing that we learn about God equipping us through worship is to ask God in whatever we're going through, turn to Him, find strength in Him. The second thing is the principle of security that we see in this psalm, verses 2 to 3. And the application is to avoid focusing on outward circumstances that may or may not happen in the future. We have to turn our attention from those things to God. The psalmist says we find our strength as a refuge when we ask for His help in whatever we're facing. He's an ever-present help to His people. But secondly, he says we find security in God as we come into worship and focus on Him in faith and turn from our attention from the cares of the world to trust in Him, to look to Him, to believe that no matter what happens, we know He's with us. Even the worst case scenario that the psalmist gives here of like an uncreation, things literally ripping apart at the seams, we know we're safe. In true worship, we turn our attention from the concerns of the world. We don't live in denial about them. Yes, they're real, but we come to focus on God. And that is how we rest in His promises. When we avoid those distractions, we learn to turn our attention to Him. Paul says in Romans 8, he's persuaded that neither height nor depth nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Well, how do you think he came to that conviction? As he worshiped. As he turned to the Lord in corporate worship, in his own worship time, as he sought the Lord. A key part of our corporate worship is this. We turn our focus from that which is constantly swirling around us in the world. And that's the reality, isn't it? But we come in here together to turn to Jesus, to look to what is true and eternal. And then in that, we experience more and more of His great eternal love and the greater reality of who we are in Christ. We're strengthened. It doesn't mean we don't ever fear, but we grow out of that fear more and more. We can say like the psalmist more and more, we will not fear. We grow in that. I remember reading years ago this story, apparently true, about when these whales were caught underneath these glaciers and ice and stuff. And somehow to get the whales to where they needed to go, I think it was the Russians did it many years ago, were able to cut these holes in the ice and allow the whales to come up for air at just the right times as they were moving along their track. You know, worship is in a way like that in this world. When we come together as His people, it's like God is allowing us to come up for air. We find life together in Him. We find that strength. We're reminded of what is really true in Him. It doesn't mean we don't ever fear, no, but it means we grow to fear less and less. to say like the psalmist, we will not fear. It means as Christians that we learn more in worship to focus on what is ultimately true, His power and grace. 1 John 5 says, the victory that's overcome the world is what? Our faith in Christ. We learn to see that, to turn away from the things that can distract us. 1 John 4 says, perfect love drives out fear. It means we've got to grow in that, don't we? That has to be completed and we have to be perfected in love. And that's one of the things that God does as we come together focused on the gospel and worship, focused on His truth, turning our attention to Him, resting in His power. We're perfected in that love. It's easy, I know, to get focused on the things that are going on around us. The evil in the world, in this information fast-paced age, where everything seems to be changing and we get information about all of the bad and worse things in our society like that, you know? And it's easy to get focused on all of these things. But one thing we do when we come in worship is we turn our attention away to focus on the greater reality of who we are in Christ. That we're God's children. We know Him. And we learn to do this more and more individually, but corporately especially. We come together away from the things of the world to the haven of His house to worship Him and to grow to know what it really means that He's our refuge. We turn to Him and ask for help, but then we turn our attention and avoid the things that can distract us, and we focus on God and we know more and more how great He is, and we come together focusing on that grace and strength that alone calms our fears. Like the hymn says, it's Christ, Jesus, who calms our fears and bids our sorrows cease. Jesus talked about it in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies out here. They're not caring for themselves, and God does it. The Father does. You're a lot more valuable than they are. He said, don't be like those who are anxiously looking around, trying to figure out how everything's going to be taken care of. What are you going to eat? What are you going to drink or wear? Frantically looking and seeking. No, He said, your Father knows that you need those things. We struggle with it, don't we? But in worship, especially, ought to be a time where we, what did Jesus say? Seek first His kingdom, knowing all these other things will be given and added to you. We come in worship with the focus of seeking Him first, not focused so much on our feelings. God cares about our feelings, yes, and we come and we lay them out before Him, but we remember how great He is. Remember what Jesus said in the parable of the soils? He said, there's one type of soil where there's weeds that come up and they can choke out the seed. And He said that those weeds are the cares and concerns and worries of this life. We got to be careful that we don't let things that we can be so worried about choke out what God wants to say to us. When we come together and we focus on Him and His Word. I think maybe I've shared this before, but I knew this guy back in America who had gone into this sprint car driver's house. It's NASCAR in America. It's just the American version of sprint car. But this professional, Jeff Gordon, he was, I think, almost retired at the time. I'm not sure. But the guy went in to work on his house and put in all this stuff in a new house. And he said, this guy, Jeff Gordon, would not allow them to put anything circular in the house. He didn't want anything like a racetrack, you know, in the house. It had to be square, triangle, whatever it was, but nothing circular. I say that because we got to be careful, don't we? We want to make sure that when we come into God's house, we're not focused on the circles. We're not focused on the racetrack of life. And the vicious cycles of worry and attention. We all have those things in our hearts and our minds, and we struggle, but we ask God to help us come together, not caught up in the race of life, but focused on Christ, focused on who He is and how great He is and what we have in Him, not focused on the things swirling around us, even our emotions and feelings, but what is ultimately true, like a pilot who focuses on his instrument panel to stay steady. We ask God to help us to focus on Him when we come to worship, to avoid the distractions that can easily root out the seed of His Word and choke it out so we come and hear Him. God is in control. We got to remember that. We come and we ask Him first to be our refuge, whatever we're going through. And then the result is we'll learn to not fear and trust Him. But then we got to be careful. The psalm says we avoid to focus on the things that can pull us down, that we can easily get worried about. There's no doubt it's easy to worry about those things. And I'm not saying we bury our head in the sand about those things in the world. I'm not saying we get in a holy huddle, you know, and live in denial. No, of course not. But we need to remember in our times, especially in this information age, that we can get paranoid sometimes and paralyzed and lose sight of how great God is and what He's called us to do. Someone said fears increase yesterday. It was the nuclear winter today, global warming tomorrow. Must be an old quote. But will be some newly discovered threat to unquiet the earth in the future. I like the story of how the Native Americans, they had a practice for training their young boys. And on the night of a boy's 13th birthday, apparently he would be blindfolded, taken miles away. And when he took off the blindfold, Native American boy, he's there in the middle of the woods by himself. And that was part of his rite of passage, I guess. And you can imagine every time a twig snapped, he probably thought a wild animal might be coming at him or something's going to leap out of the darkness and get him. And then he would wake up, apparently, this is the rite of passage, you know, and the sunlight's coming on his face, and he looks around and he would see the flowers and the trees, and then the figure there standing out in the path with a bow and arrow, this man, and it was the boy's dad. He was there all the time. He had been there with him all night long, never left his side. The question is, even as information comes at us quicker and quicker and things are getting worse and worse, through worship, especially in God's Word, is our faith increasing? Are we growing to trust Him more? We should be through worship. Even though the trials and the problems keep swirling around us, you know, sometimes we get so focused on those other things. Yes, we have to be aware of it. But sometimes more and more information, more and more thinking about those things just makes us more and more worried. But worship is meant to remind us of our security in God. Still our souls. Remind us that He's with us. He'll take care of us. The faster things move, the more we know we can lose our focus on what is really true and what matters the most, and we'll try to figure it all out ourselves and worry more. But we need to remember, as things get worse, God is in control. We shouldn't be naive, but we shouldn't let it stir us into a frenzy. And that's why the psalmist says, we come and we don't fear. We remember how great God is. We're careful that we don't fall into that. As we learn to turn to Him in different situations, we find our contentment, like Paul said, is in Christ. We should be growing to know, as Paul said, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Worship should equip us and strengthen us for the battles. And we see that therefore in verse 2. Why is it there? Therefore, because as we turn to Him in prayer, He becomes our refuge. We ask for His help. He's our ever-present help. We find that to be true and experience that even in the worst case scenario, if the earth gave way and the mountains fall in the heart of the sea, even if the waters roar and foam, even if the creation almost came undone, we grow to know our safety in Jesus Christ as we've turned our attention to His Word and His kingdom that is greater than all things. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we've received a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, worship, right? By which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for God is a consuming fire. We come to worship, we do it in faith. And we don't live in denial about the problems, but we turn to the Lord, knowing what we believe and trusting in Him more and more deeply. And that leads me to point number 3. Not only do we ask and find strength and avoid distractions as we rest in our security in Christ, we align ourselves to receive God's power and joy. And this is the principle of sustenance and continued life that flows from God in Christ. We see it in verses 4 to 7. See, in context in this psalm, Jerusalem was one of the great ancient cities that wasn't actually founded on a river. It was only when Hezekiah the king dug a famous tunnel that ran from the pool of Siloam underneath the walls of Jerusalem to the inside that actually it had that inner source of water. It didn't come from an actual river. But the psalmist says, though Jerusalem was not situated by the river, it had a river inside the walls. That's the context here. The river behind the walls running there to Jerusalem, it was symbolic, though, a greater picture of what God was doing, that his presence was with them, that he would give them in whatever they faced in battle, not only being their fortress and refuge, but being this river of life and strength. He would give them all the spiritual resources that they would need, and it was symbolic. An attack in those days in war might last for years, but if they had an outward protection of a wall, symbolic of God's power as a fortress, and if they had a constant internal supply of water, this river, well, that's symbolic of God as our life and his presence with us, well, then they would have all that they need, even over a long period of time. That stream that gave them constant supply came inside those walls and would sustain them. And it was symbolic of a constant supply of God's presence, of his guidance in all of our lives. For God's people back then, the picture was clear. There was the battles they faced, the real enemy, symbolic of what we face. We come together and worship, and God reminds us he's with us. He's our joy. What did Nehemiah 8, what does it say? The joy of the Lord is our strength. He not only gives us external protection, but internal, his internal presence. He's with us. The river of God's presence makes the city glad, the psalmist says, because it meant that God was always with her. It was symbolic of that. It was meant to be, as they read this, as they remembered what God had done. And so what we're talking about in worship here is how we experience God's presence with us and the great joy that we have because we know the Lord is with us. He's our strength. He's our refuge, our ever-present help. His life comes to us continually through the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter says about the church that Christ is the cornerstone and we are his living stones because the life of Jesus through the Spirit is living in every single one of us. And he's building up this spiritual house through his presence in each of us as we come together and worship in this physical building. He's here and we offer spiritual sacrifices to God acceptable in Christ Jesus. Because God gives us this continual life we have, symbolic in this river, as we look at it in the New Testament, in light of that, we know that's what the Holy Spirit's doing in worship as we come together, as Christ lives in us and transforms us. In Christian worship, we come together and we know the great joy that we have in the Lord because of his presence. And we're brought together in him, and our hearts should be filled with joy because of the fact that we know he'll always be with us. And we're looking forward to heaven when we know that'll be finalized. As we each grow to know him more and more in Christ, we ought to be filled in worship with eternal joy and filled with joy in the church, because even though the battles rage on around us, the city of God has the presence of God. There's a river that comes to the city of God. Even while that war rages on around us in the world and in the problems we have, God is with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We're reminded of that when we come together. We should be as his people. We're his eternal family in Christ. And even though the events of the world swirl around us as men make their evil plans, there's a river that runs behind the walls into the church. Because he's living in us wherever we are. Even as we go out, we're equipped through corporate worship. We're reminded that we're his church. We're his living stones, and we come together, and we're strengthened. We put our focus on God, and we go back out into the battles. That's what helps us grow to not fear, even though we do fear at times, of course, when we worry. It's the joy of the Lord's presence, the river that runs to the city of God and makes us glad We know He's with us. The point is, the river of His life and love flows from the Lord to where His people are. That's the picture in this psalm. I love what John Eaton said about this in his commentary in the Psalms. He said, "Where is this city? What is she, the city of God? She's the stronghold of hope and faith that is formed for Christians around the presence of God. She's known wherever there's worship and devotion and service to the Lord in Christians. The stronghold we have together. We know Christ is with us. His presence will never leave us. We come together, we're reminded of that as we come in worship as His church. And our goal is to make sure we're clear that we are aligned with that. We know who we are. We know our life is in Him. Jesus said in John 15, "Abide in me and I'll abide in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine. You're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing." So we need to remember that. He's our refuge and strength, but He's also the river of eternal life. He gives us strength and security and sustenance continually. And that leads me to point number four. Not only ask for strength and avoid the distractions, we have security and align ourselves to His plan. Number four, admire God's mighty works as we come to worship corporately. Verses 8 to 9. And this is a principle, of course, of salvation and God's power. We ask God for His help. We avoid looking around. We look to God alone. We align ourselves to receive His presence, His experience, His power. And the psalmist then says, "Come and see the works of Almighty God." And the psalmist points out that these are the almighty works of God that He alone can do. That's the point. Incredible works. Powerful works that only God can do that bring desolation on the earth. But the psalmist points out that God does these works for a purpose, to bring an end to wars, to do this to the ends of the earth as only God can. That God comes to bring end to war, where people are made in His image but destroyed, their lives are ruined. And he's saying, look and admire how great God is, His power. But I believe the psalmist wanted to comfort God's people, of course, in a time where they could be afraid, as they know that God's with them and this God is almighty and all-powerful, and He's able to do this, to bring peace in the world. And the psalmist wanted them to see that God alone is their fortress and strength and with them. But I also believe, as we look at it from a New Testament viewpoint, as we have to, that God meant for this psalm to point forward to the ultimate work that God would do to bring ultimate peace, to deal with the ultimate cause of wars, our sin, what He would come to do through His work in His Son, Jesus Christ. We need to come, as we come to worship, we look and we stand in awe of how great His work is and what He has done in Jesus Christ to bring peace to those that trust in Him. That ultimate war that causes all other wars, God has solved that for those that come to the refuge of Jesus Christ and turn to Him. God doesn't seek to put a band-aid on the problems, but He comes and deals with it head on. The psalmist said He makes wars cease. And we know that He's ultimately going to do that and has done that in the cross, and He will finalize that in the end. And so we come to worship, we come to focus on His great works, admire His ultimate work through the cross, and never forget that, knowing He's at work today bringing people to Christ, and we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We admire His awesome works. God makes war cease. This is His purpose, and He's done this in the ultimate way through the cross. This is what it pointed to as we looked at justice this morning. God brings justice ultimately through the cross as He justifies the ungodly through faith in Christ. And He'll bring that to finalization in the end. And that's what we need to remember as we come to worship. It reminds us of our purpose as we focus on the cross and His awesome work, and why we're called to go out and serve Him and be His ministers as He's bringing reconciliation. And that leads me to the final point. We acknowledge that God is God and that we're not We always, of course, do that in worship, but we see the focus here on God's sovereignty in verse 10 at the end of the psalm. You know, a lot of times people will take this verse out of context a bit, I think. It's a well-known verse of being still, be still and know that I'm the Lord. But sometimes people tend to want to focus on how we need to be silent and be contemplative. And all those things can be good things. But the question is that really what the psalm is saying here? The Bible does call us to meditate, of course, in the right way, to set our minds on the truth and focus on God. But in context, it seems to be more of the focus here of be still and know that I'm God, that God's saying in this whole context of all that's going on in the world and things going chaotic, he's saying, be still. Stop. Stop and cease. You know, stop your frantic worrying. Hear my call. Listen to me. Know that I'm in control. Know that I reign. Know that I'm almighty and all-powerful. And that's what we do. We acknowledge that God is almighty and sovereign as we come to worship Him. Like a military commander, it's like God is saying, attention, listen to me. As you go back out into the world, listen to me. We're equipped in corporate worship as we hear God, as we be still and know that He's God. As we go back in the world, we're equipped, we should be, to listen to Him there and to look to His Word there, to know that He's God. We focus on that as we come together as His people, but we ought to be equipped as we go back out and do what He's called us to do for His glory. Let's remember that as we think about worship and what we learn from this psalm about God equipping us and strengthening us in worship. There's a lot of truths we can learn about worship as we see in the psalms, but I think this psalm really helps us to see that. So let's turn to Him now as we close in a time of prayer.